Well, what a day. Easter Resurrection Day. The day we remember that our Lord lives. Once dead, but now alive forevermore. Wow. That is a tremendous truth, isn't it? Let's look to Him once again, shall we? Father, thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you for these who made the choice to come out to church on Easter Sunday evening. Not a large group, but it only takes two or three that are gathered in your name for you to be in the midst of them. And so we thank you that we can gather in your presence, and I trust that as our service continues, it would be to your glory and honor as we remember how special this day is for us, the fact that our Savior who was dead is alive forevermore. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. Let's call this one Andrew. Are we any different? Are we any different? We've already mentioned what a special day this is, with it being the day that we remember the fact that on that third day, first day of the week, they found the tomb was empty. On a calendar, what is the real date? We don't know that. It's not important, is it? The important thing is that we remember that our Savior lives. And what a special treat that is for us to take some time this evening to take a look at some resurrection references. I know I have a couple of note takers here, and so if you like to take notes, let's call the first point their glorious discovery. Their glorious discovery. And the scripture for that is Luke chapter 24. And we'll look at the first 9 verses. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid. And they bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. What a glorious discovery that was for these who went to the tomb that morning. And yet, it's truthful, it's true to be able to say, not only was it a glorious discovery, but what an unexpected surprise. Do you know that if you search the scriptures, there is no evidence in any of the gospels that would support the fact that any of his followers expected to see him alive on the third day? I challenge you to find a portion of scripture that says this one was, well, it's the third day. We expect him to be alive. Notice in verse 8, after the angels had this conversation with the ladies who had gone to the tomb, what does it say? They remembered his words. It wasn't something they expected to see when they went to the tomb that morning. You see, both Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, as we have here, recorded for us that the women returned very early to the tomb on the first day of the week, not to worship a risen Lord, but what did they return to the tomb for? To finish the job of properly burying the Lord. One of the Gospels records that because the day of preparation was at hand, it was almost as if they put the Lord in the tomb kind of in a hurry. They did wrap his body with cloth and put spices in it, but they didn't get the job completed to their satisfaction. And so Mark and Luke records for us that these women, notice verse 1, they came unto the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared. They were expecting to find the Lord's body still wrapped in those burial cloths. Their only concern was what? Who's going to roll the stone away? It was too big for these women to do. As we think of that, we go secondly to the disciples' response. It tells us in verse 9, they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Now here's the disciples' response in verse 11. And their words seemed to them as what? Idle tales. We would say in the 21st century, you're telling a wild story there, ladies. Idle tales. And they what with what they heard? How's verse 11 ended? And they what? They did not believe them. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark and his account of it in chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, we pick up at verse, I'd like us to pick up at verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And if you want to read the account of that, that's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. The two men on the road to Emmaus that night were walking, and Jesus suddenly caught up with them, said, "Hey guys, how's it going? How's things been?" Remember the conversation? "What? Are you a stranger around these parts? Don't you know what's happened?" "What do you mean what's happened?" "Well, Jesus, whom we had hoped was our Redeemer, they crucified him and put him in the tomb, and some of his followers, they said the tomb is empty." And it tells us the Lord continued walking with them. He talked to them about, you slow of heart to believe. And it says that he took the time to go back to Old Testament scriptures and point to that very day in the writings of scripture. And when they got to their destination there, the little city of Emmaus, it says the Lord made as though he would go on, and they said, "No, stay. You know it's late. You shouldn't be out on the road." They didn't have nice flashlights like we have today. Walking at night could be very risky. And they said, "Here, spend the night. Why don't you have something to eat?" "Okay," he said. The host got the food ready. And then the Lord did something. He took the bread and he broke it. And it tells us that their eyes were opened. And he suddenly disappeared. And they said, "Oh, weren't our hearts burning within us as he spoke the scriptures to us? It was the Lord. We got to go back and tell the rest of them back to Jerusalem." That is verses 12 and 13 here in Mark chapter 16. That's his account of it. Luke just went into all the details. And we see they went and told it unto the residue, the disciples that... What did I say wrong? Isn't that what it says? Okay. Hey, I've said funny words before, but that's because I didn't read it right. I thought, did I read that word wrong? The residue, that's the remainder of them. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 12 or the 11 as they sat at meat. And what did Jesus say to them? "Hey guys, I'm really getting some good reports about you this evening. I'm really pleased the way you've been responding to the eyewitnesses." What does it say? It says that he upbraided them. He rebuked them. He scolded them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The Lord rebuked them because they refused to believe the eyewitnesses of his resurrection. You know, the interesting thing of it is, Matthew's account records for us the response of the unbelievers. We know what the response of his disciples was. What did the unbelievers think of this? In Matthew chapter 27, we pick up at verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will arise. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You've got a guard, you've got a watch, go your way. You make that tomb as secure as you can. So they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, setting a watch. Isn't it a tragedy that the unbelieving world paid more attention to the things that the Lord had spoken with regard to him being raised from the dead on the third day than his own disciples paid attention to? Our message title is, Are We Any Different? What did the disciples have to go on? Who could have expected them? I mean, the Lord upbraided them for their unbelief because they refused to open up the door and the realm of possibility as these eyewitnesses, more than one, came to them and said, We have seen him alive. And the disciple says, You're just telling a whopper. The Lord said, Why weren't you believing the eyewitnesses about me? The unsaved world, they paid attention to what I was saying. Why didn't you? Number three, note takers, I'd like us to look at the disciples' advantage. The disciples' advantage. A, they had an advantage on this matter by what they had heard. They had an advantage to be prepared for this by what they had heard. Go back with me to Luke chapter 9. Long before he ever went to the cross in his earthly ministry, verses 20 through 22. This is when the Lord was having that conversation. You know, there's stories going around about me. People are saying things, trying to figure out who I am. Hey, man, who do you say that I am? That's verse 20. But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said unto him, Why, you're the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. The disciples had an advantage. They had heard him talk about it. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. He didn't want anybody to know they were there. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. They heard it. They didn't know what he meant. And none of them had the courage to say, Lord, would you explain that just a little bit to us? They didn't do that. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verses 17 through 19, we continue seeing the disciples' advantage by what they had heard. Verses 17 through 19, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, off to one side, that's what that means, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. My question, wasn't the Lord pretty plain in what he was telling his disciples? What an advantage these men had. They heard it from his lips. You say, yes, but Mark said they didn't understand. But nobody bothered to ask. Lord, we're having just a little bit. Could you explain that just a little bit more? Just let it go. And in John's gospel, if you haven't figured it out, I've picked out a passage from each of the four gospels. In John's gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 21, it tells us this. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. He wasn't just here with his disciples. He was saying this among a group of people. His disciples were present. But it says many of them, verse 20, said, this guy's got a devil. He's mad. Why are you listening to him? This man doesn't know what he's talking about. The disciples had a tremendous advantage on being prepared for the events of the third day by what they had heard. The references I have given you have all been earlier in his ministry. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 27 and 28, we have an account of some words that Jesus said the night of the Last Supper as they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we're getting pretty close to the end here, aren't we? The Garden of Gethsemane, what took place there? Judas was waiting for him with the soldiers, wasn't he? And the rest, it was out of the hands of his disciples. But listen at that late moment, the words that Jesus spoke to them that night as they were walking to the garden, knowing full well Judas and the soldiers were in there waiting. Look at Mark 14, 27 and 28. Jesus said unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. The disciples had a great advantage. The disciples should not have struggled with doubting truth about the Lord because of all they had seen. Because of all they had heard him say. They had heard it numerous times in the 3 years they had walked with his earthly ministry. But B, the next advantage they had was by what they had seen. By what they had seen. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we pick up at verse 11. Now it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. What was the advantage? Here they had seen him do what? Bring back to life one who was dead. But that wasn't the only time they had the advantage of seeing that. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. It tells us in verse 24 these words. This is where the ruler came and said, my daughter is dead. But you know, sir, if you would just come and lay your hands on her, I know you could raise her from the dead. And in verse 24, we see that very thing. We pick up at verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the musicians and the people making a noise, and he said unto them, give place, stand back, For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And what did they do? They laughed him to scorn. Why? Because this girl was what? She was dead. But we find when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid did what? Arose. She came back to life. The disciples had much advantage over everyone else. They had heard him talk about it numerous times. Going to be crucified, be put to death. The third day, going to be raised again, raised again, raised again. Lastly, you know, one more comes to your mind. They had the advantage of seeing him raise their good friend Lazarus, right? In John chapter 11. In John chapter 11. And the interesting thing about that instance is Lazarus had been dead how long? 4 days. And by now he what? He stinks. That's what it says in the Bible, Ian. He's been dead 4 days and he stinks by now. Did that matter to the Lord? Did it matter to the Lord of glory who had said, nobody can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And the disciples had witnessed not only the bringing back to life of this young man in the funeral procession in the midst of town. They had witnessed this little girl brought back to life. And in verse 34 and 35 of John chapter 11, Jesus, it tells us, not there. Maybe it's 43. Dyslexia. Don't you love it? The right numbers got them turned around the wrong way. 43 and 44. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, what? Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and he kind of just came out. He was struggling to navigate because he was wrapped so tightly and he was probably bouncing his way out. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He's alive. He's not dead anymore. That's right. She said amen too. All right. By all of these events, don't you think it's safe to say that the disciples should not have had any trouble believing the eyewitnesses and the truth about the Lord? They had heard him so many times talk about it. They had witnessed his power over death. Why should they be so much lacking faith? They had all that evidence that we can trust the Lord. I don't know. My question is, how come we have so much trouble believing things that the Lord has told us? You say, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I think we do. We demonstrate our unbelief so many times by our fears, by our doubts, by our disobedience. I mean, it's very plain. We say we know the Lord has everything under control, but we fret and we stew and we murmur over it. How come? We have the advantage of having the whole, complete Word of God. And yet, we doubt. We doubt. My closing thought is this to our Lord. Lord, strengthen our faith in you. I thought about taking a little public time for public testimony, but our time is done. Here's just a little challenge. Do it if you want. Here's what I was going to ask. What areas do you struggle with believing the Lord these days? What areas do you struggle just believing the Lord? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, it's so easy to relate to the disciples' unbelief. As much advantage as they had, we still see ourselves in their response. Reluctant to simply believe by faith the truths concerning you. Take these truths. Strengthen our faith in you. May we ask ourselves, Lord, what areas do I doubt your ability? I may say I'm trusting you, but the way I live my life is demonstrating I'm not trusting you at all. I'm trying to work it out myself. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of you, even on this Easter Sunday evening. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.